Hour number two of the Blitz starts right now, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We're live in your Fan Run Radio app. That's free wherever you get your apps downloaded. Take us with you on the go wherever you are. Maybe you're planning to take a little drive 920 miles from Knoxville to Omaha next week if things go smoothly this weekend in Hattiesburg. Gonna want to make sure you still have Fan Run Radio with you. So again, that free app available wherever you get your apps. We're also live in the Fan Run Radio web browser. And, of course, that video feed, it's up over on the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter. With that being said, let's go ahead and start off hour two with an opening drive. All right, first down. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Matthew. Probably the biggest news of the day, but is Baby Gronk the new?
I was waiting for it, dude. I knew you were going to have
dude,
it.
Is he the Rizzly Bears? Livy rizzed up Baby Gronk. Dude, is he going to lead LSU to a national championship?
He stole Livy from the Drip King?
I don't know if anyone was on Twitter yesterday to see the TikTok that was floating around about Livy Dunn and Baby Gronk. We've talked about Baby Gronk on this show, actually. We broke down an interview that Football Scoop did with Baby Gronk's dad, and he is a confirmed psychopath.
Oh, has to be.
Yeah, I do actually feel bad for Baby Gronk. It's not his fault. He's just a kid with a dad that makes him do things.
Yeah.
That video gave me cancer, though.
It was.
Yeah, that was probably the worst I've ever felt about our generation and technology.
I hate those people so much. I have a buddy who is kind of a psycho football dad, who's my age, and his kid's 8 years old, maybe, something like that. And he set up, not that same guy, but somebody who does this, who has a similar brand on Twitter grading the best seventh grade football players in the country. It's like, dude, shut up. What do you know? And also, I don't even know. It's so annoying.
It's so weird. But anyway, actual first down. I just had to bring up that
video. It was a hilarious video,
though. I mean, it hurt me to watch. My eyes hurt. My body changed. And my life will never be the same for the worse because I had to see that TikTok. Actual first down, Michigan. They finally got a transfer through their admissions process.
And who was it, Charlie?
Hip, hip, hooray, except it was Olivier Kamwa. Former Tennessee forward, spent a lot of the last couple of months evaluating his NBA prospects and decided to stay in the portal instead, and now he is committed to Michigan. Michigan and West Virginia were, for most of the process of him in the portal, seen as the two favorites. Baylor was a late player in things as well, but ultimately he ended up at Michigan. He'll be a grad transfer. I think that he fits Michigan pretty well. Michigan can also,
yeah, definitely.
You know, I think put him in a spot to maybe improve his aspirations. I was always a big Olivier guy. I know a lot of our fan base had mixed feelings about Olivier, but I thought he was a pretty valuable piece of the team. I'm disappointed to see him leave. You know, anytime you lose a guy that started for multiple years and averaged nearly 11 points a game and 5 rebounds a game, like, that's a tough loss. But we've seen him have some high highs, you know, notably against Texas, against Duke in the NCAA tournament. If Michigan can figure out how to get him to play with more consistency and to play at a higher level, I could see him having a monster year for Michigan, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think it was the right move. Obviously, it was a guy I wanted to have stay in Knoxville as well, but as we talked about when Triple J said he was coming back, it's like there's just not really room for Olivier anymore. And I kind of like the fit of these other guys with what this roster is going to be this year. But I think he's going to be fine at Michigan.
I think he'll be featured in that offense pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Olivier Kamwa will be a focal point, and, you know, we'll see if he gets put in that Hunter Dickinson type role. Maybe they utilize his shooting ability a little bit more, just like they did Hunter Dickinson. be very intrigued to watch him at Michigan. Some other portal news yesterday. Florida. I don't know if people have been paying attention to what Florida's done, but they've completely transformed their roster with transfers. They've gotten five big transfers now. I think they look like an NCAA tournament team for sure. Some big pieces from Seton Hall, Marshall, and Yale, but they rounded out their dazzling transfer class with one of the better point guards that was still available. Zion Pullen from UC Riverside averaged 18.5 points a game, 4.5 assists a game, and he shot 48% from the field last year.
Gators loading up.
Yeah, Florida got the MAC Player of the Year. The MAAC.
AAC, yeah. I caught that.
And again, you know, a couple of pretty dynamic scorers, and now this point guard from UC Riverside, too. But that's some portal news on first down. What do you got for second down?
Second down, I touched on it for just a second when we were talking about how the NBA dominated yesterday, but the Ja Morant, Adam Silver stuff continues. Goes back on the desk yesterday. Quote said, "I get a little nervous when people talk about sending a message. Sometimes it implies that you may not be fair to that individual player." I definitely agree with that, like, but it makes it sound like Ja's playing the victim here, and he definitely is, and that a harsher punishment isn't deserved. I think it is. Like, I think the 30 game number that's been floated out there, I think, is the right number. I think it sends a clear message that, like, hey, this is not just for the second offense. It is kind of a makeup suspension for the first time, which was clearly not enough, so clearly didn't send the message. And once you take a chunk of 30 games checks from Ja, like, maybe that gets the message through to him. But the media tour that Adam Silver is on is also kind of strange, in my opinion. Like, I get that he's around the game right now because he's going to every single finals game and they want him on the desk, but, like, surely there's something else to talk about. And the fact that he did the first, you know, TV appearance saying we don't want to take any shine away from the NBA finals, and he continues to now talk about things that are not the NBA finals and building up this big suspension whenever it may be coming, is getting a little hokey.
No, Adam Silver's being weird, dude. Yeah. He's treating this like it's reality TV.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I don't know, the NBA offseason, the NBA off the court stuff does seem like reality TV sometimes and does get treated as such sometimes. But I don't know, it feels like even Adam Silver's kind of playing into it. And
big time, yeah.
Maybe he understands that the fans eat this up. You know, the fans love all the off-the-court stuff, and, you know, the whole "this league," everyone loves a good "this league" tweet, and I get it. You know, maybe you're trying to play into that just because, again, you know, it's going to draw eyes. It's going to have people paying attention to the NBA in an NBA Finals where maybe it doesn't have the most storylines ever, that has a couple of games in between. But it seems very weird for Adam Silver to continuously be like, "Well, we don't want to say anything because we don't want to distract from the NBA playoffs." But hey, he might have done something really bad.
Yeah,
found some new information,
and I'm gonna keep talking about it.
In a couple more days, yeah, I'm gonna mention it again just to keep you guys speculating and make this a conversation for 2 weeks. Very strange. Third down, some Titans news yesterday.
Yes.
Not the Titans news I was expecting. DeAndre Hopkins.
I had that.
His first free agent visit will be in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, it would be awesome to have a true number one receiver on the outside, somebody to stretch the field and be a big body and be physical. Oh, that was A.J. Brown. That was a guy they already had. So I like DeAndre Hopkins a lot, but after A.J. Brown's season last year, like, I feel like, I don't know, I would rather just have A.J. Brown than DeAndre Hopkins at this point. But if you got to go, you know, kind of correct that mistake by getting DeAndre Hopkins, do it, and he may be cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Hopkins, he's going to fly in this weekend, visit Nashville on Sunday. Him and Mike Vrabel, they were together in Houston. They were friends, got along well. And now the Titans get the first of what will probably be several Hopkins visits. But good opportunity to impress early. And
did you guys draft a receiver this year too? Seems like
in the seventh round.
Okay, so no. So so basically no. Never mind.
I believe it was Colton Dow of UT Martin.
Okay, nice.
Ooh. Our receiving room right now, Treylon Burks. Love, big Treylon Burks.
That was the
guy.
Arkansas kid from last year,
I think,
right?
That Treylon Burks is
that's who I was
going
of,
to be a star wide receiver in the NFL.
I liked him in Arkansas.
Very big on Treylon Burks. I think he will just be your wide receiver one this year, but he needs help. And opposite of him, you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah.
Kyle Phillips.
Mm.
You signed Chris Moore this offseason. And
that stinks.
Racy McMath.
That's the worst receiver room in the league, it sounds
so
like.
So I love Treylon Burks, but
he's a second-year player, too, though. Like,
and he battled through injuries last year. DeAndre Hopkins, though, that transforms the offense.
Yeah. He definitely does not feel like the team that he's going to end up on, but if I was a Titans fan, which I'm not, then I would want to have DeAndre Hopkins. I think Nuke is still, like, a top-four receiver.
I don't know if you can put him in that category just because we haven't seen enough of him lately.
Yeah.
I think he still has the potential to be an elite receiver.
The hand strength, the contested catch stuff with him, the footwork, I think is on that level with, like, Adams and Jefferson.
Oh, I mean, I think DeAndre Hopkins up until
– he's not the best athlete out of that
up until
group,
he started getting a little bit banged up was the best receiver in the NFL. I'm
technician.
Huge DeAndre Hopkins guy. I think to an extent he made Deshaun Watson a little bit.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of times that Deshaun Watson got away with some interceptable passes, some bad throws, just kind of a, you know, screw it, DeAndre's down there somewhere mentality. And Hopkins saved Watson a lot.
Yeah, a lot of bailouts.
But I mean, the Titans need D-Hop so bad.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, again, it completely transforms the offense. You look at the Titans now, it's a defense that probably ranks – somewhere around top five in the NFL. I mean, the defense is the calling card of this team. It's a defensive front that's excellent. The corners solid. You know, you got some new linebackers coming in this year, but it's a defense that last year was second in the NFL in sacks until the last couple of weeks of the year when legitimately every person on your roster was healthy. You know, you broke the record for injuries in a year back-to-back years.
That's a good stat.
You had over 50% of your payroll on injured reserve by, like, week 14 last year.
Yeah.
But when healthy, when that unit was together, the Titans' defense was fantastic.
A monster.
It was good enough to get the Titans into overtime on the road in Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football against Kansas City with Malik Willis at quarterback. So all of a sudden, you know, you throw DeAndre Hopkins in that room, and I think the Titans would have enough to try to make one more run at the division before the Jags completely, you know, reach that higher level with Trevor Lawrence, to make one more run at it before you kind of enter into a little bit more of a retool rebuild.
Yeah, and go with one of the younger quarterbacks and probably move on from Henry.
You have a year with Ryan Tannehill, still have Derrick Henry, and put DeAndre Hopkins outside to pair opposite of Treylon Burks. It's an offensive line that is probably going to make the jump from about 30th to 32nd in the NFL to like 17th or 18th, which is good enough.
Yeah, passable.
Passable. A couple of exciting tight ends. All of a sudden, you're talking about an offense that could have a little bit of life to it to pair with that defense. So, I mean, it can't be understated how big it could be to get DeAndre Hopkins on board in Tennessee. And just getting a visit enough has me juiced. Ready to go.
Yeah, it's a good sign for sure to be at least even in the discussion.
Plus, dude, it's a Titans tradition. We got Andre Johnson. We got Randy Moss.
That is true, yeah.
We got Julio Jones. It's a Titans tradition. We need DeAndre Hopkins. And then
I think Hopkins is at a better point in his career than some of those other guys, though.
I thought Julio
still had it in the tank. I did, too.
I was surprised with the Julio drop-off, so nothing would entirely doubt me surprise me here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Bucs fan. When we got him, I thought the same thing. I was like, awesome red zone target, massive, one of the best receivers in the NFL. Not so much. All right, you want my fourth down?
Yes, sir.
Ellie De La Cruz, this kid for the Reds, monster bomb yesterday for his first home run, 458 feet in his – debut. I saw some highlights. He's got absolute wheels. I think this kid's going to be pretty good. And as we talked about earlier this week or maybe last week, just some of the young guys that are coming in and having instant impact in Major League Baseball off the rip is a good thing for the game. You know, that is trying to get back in the national spotlight. And this Ellie De La Cruz kid rakes, runs, defends. Love it.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and just put a stake in that right here then and catch a break. I want to just come back and talk a little bit more about Ellie De La Cruz's debut in the MLB and just what's been going on as a whole lately. So catch a break here. We'll talk some MLB on the other side right here on the Blitz. Make someone around me catch a body like that. No, don't do it. Please don't do it. Because one of us goes in and we all go to it. Back here on the Blitz, friend of the show, Jordan Moore, just tweeted me.
Okay.
Interesting stat here before we get into the baseball talk. Jimmy Butler shot at least 50% in 7 of his first 8 games this postseason, and in all 6 before he hurt his ankle. And since he hurt his ankle, and since those first 8 games, he has shot 50% in 1 of 12 games. And in one game, he only took 10 shots. And that's the only game that he shot over 50%.
Yeah, the ankle thing, I think, is like an important part of the playoffs to remember for this Heat team. Like, it has definitely affected him going forward. I think that that played a factor in the fact that we haven't seen the best of Jimmy Butler in these finals yet. And really, I think that was why they kind of called on the role players, you know, in the following round against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals to kind of pick up some of that slack, because Jimmy just hasn't been 100% since then.
Maybe we should just have Adam Silver just suspend the playoffs until Jimmy's healthy. Just, you know, only
and Tyler Hero. And
yeah. Let's just pause. Maybe wait a couple more weeks. Let him really do the whole Rice method: rest, ice, compression, elevation. I didn't think I was going to remember all of those, honestly, when I first started saying it. So let's go. Made
yeah,
it through.
Found your way there.
pretty interesting, though. I mean, you know, you could see the difference with Jimmy, but to have it spelled out that way statistically just really, I guess, kind of makes you realize what's been going on. It is tough. I'll be interested to see after the postseason if we get a better picture of just how injured Jimmy Butler truly
is. Oh, we will. We always do.
Such a tough guy, man. Would love a healthy Jimmy. He's so much fun. Anyway, we're talking some baseball, and yeah, I wanted to just get into some of the headlines that have been floating around out there this week. I'd say probably 3-4 major storylines this week. The first of which being Ellie De La Cruz has made his debut for the Reds. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He's just been tearing up the minors. His brother Brian De La Cruz already in the league for the Marlins. And Ellie finally made his debut, first at bat. You know, just a casual 110 off the bat, roping a double into right.
And he was flying too, dude.
He is
great speed.
He is incredible. Last night had a triple. Fastest home to third recorded in the MLB this season.
Wow.
Also hit the home run last night. The Reds walked off the Dodgers. Wasn't his home run that was the walk-off, but the Reds walked off the Dodgers. And all of a sudden, the Reds have some juice, and they've been a laughing stock really for years in the MLB, just because of their ownership, their refusal to commit any money to this team,
But a team with like a
glaring lack of effort to make this team any better,
and a team with a ton of history and like fan buy-in for sure. But now they have this kind of fun, good young core that I like a lot.
Yeah, that's what frustrates me about like the Reds organization, the A's organization, two teams that if you just spent money, you'd make it back because you have such good fan bases that they'll support the absolute heck out of a winner.
Yeah.
Like if you give the Rays fans a winning team, they will fill a stadium. Even just for the last couple of nights of Ellie De La Cruz, they've had a great crowd on hand. And back-to-back nights, they've beaten the Dodgers. They've won three games in a row, and they're not that far out of it in the playoff race. They're 29-33, but they're 6-4 in their last 10, five back in the division.
Yeah, not three in a back terrible in spot in the wild division card. Either, yeah.
I'm intrigued by what this Rays team has going for them the rest of the season.
Reds.
Did I say Rays?
Yeah, it's probably just because you're looking at me, though.
I can't quit looking at your hat.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It means it's probably a hat that needs to stay in the rotation.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing. I heard you say it once. I was like, I think you meant Reds, but that's all right. We were also talking A's.
Have I said Rays multiple times
now? You said it one other time, but it kind of made
Goodness
sense. So
gracious.
I was like, I think he might – well, you said Reds and A's, and then it also became Rays, and I'm wearing a Rays
hat. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was nothing you could do about that. But we know what you mean, the Reds.
Reds, I'm really enjoying their young core with – you know, Spencer Steer and with Jonathan
India. Is awesome, yeah.
You know, Tyler Stevenson is a good young catcher. Nick Senzel is still 27. He hasn't really lived up to expectations.
And all contributed.
And even like Jake Fraley is a good left fielder that's 28 years old. And now you throw Ellie De La Cruz in there. Still more prospects to come up, obviously.
Yeah.
I hope that they keep it together. And what I really hope they do, too, they have a closer right now, Alexis Diaz, Edwin Diaz's younger brother.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not familiar with him.
He's thrown 24 innings this year and has just given up 4 earned runs. He has
pretty
been
good.
Electric, 46 strikeouts on the year. His K per 9 is 17. His WAR as a closer is 1.7, and that ERA is under 1.5 right now. Gives up less than a base runner an inning. They have him under team control all the way through 2027, but undoubtedly he's going to be a big-time name at the deadline. That's going to be really intriguing for me moving forward this season to see if the Reds kind of give off maybe some Oriole vibes this year, where the Orioles started competing and caught a spark about halfway through the year when they called up some dudes and they had some decisions to make at the deadline. They ended up selling and still competed through it anyway.
Yeah.
I hope the Reds don't sell if they start to make a little bit of a run. I really hope that they don't get rid of Alexis Diaz. I'm thoroughly enjoying the last couple of days with the Reds. And I'm not a Reds fan or anything like that, but who doesn't love some electric baseball from some young dudes?
Yeah.
I think Ellie De La Cruz – this isn't some crazy opinion or anything. I think he's going to be one of the, like, five best players in baseball in the next 5 years.
Okay. I love that.
I mean, he is everything you could want.
Through
contact,
two games, like, I'm with you there.
I'm not necessarily talking about his performance in the first two games.
I am. As
just,
an overreactor, yeah. I'm like, oh, this kid is
first two games,
top
I mean,
five player now.
He is pretty electric these first couple of games.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty telling. The biggest thing will be how does he counter the counters that are going to come in.
Right.
You know, when people get to the MLB, we've seen some guys get some hot starts, and then when there's more information on you, teams start countering you a little bit more. Maybe they mix in more off speed. They find some holes in your swing. And then that's when a lot of guys have to recalibrate. And that recalibration, I think, is usually pretty telling on how good a prospect's going to be. You know, we've seen guys come on the scene, get off to hot starts, and then all of a sudden – you know, maybe they start seeing a lot of curveballs down in the zone and striking out a bunch, and they don't really bounce back. You know, I can think of the Nationals just off the top of my head. One of their top prospects, Carter Kiaboom, got called up first week in the MLB, hit like 3 home runs,
yeah,
was tearing
he was
it
sick.
Up. Started giving him some off speed. You know, he was botching some balls in the infield, and he never really recovered, didn't really find his swing. And hasn't really spent much time in the MLB since. But then, you know, you have a guy, I guess I'm just still thinking of a Nationals lens, like Juan Soto, who in his first game is hitting home runs. You know, he's dropping bombs in Yankee Stadium and just tearing it up, and they never figured him out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Ellie De La Cruz is the kind of guy that they're going to figure out all that much. I think he'll recalibrate just fine. And what an exciting mix of tools when you think about his defense, his speed, his contact, but then also just the raw power he has. The home run last night, a monster shot, and again, his first hit was 110 off the bat into the gap. Very pumped to watch him the rest of the year. I would even, you know, I know it's June, but it's not like there's a great rookie of the year race right now in the NL.
True.
Some value on De La Cruz.
Yeah. Value in the Reds as well. Like, five back in the division is not out of this game at all.
The wild card race in the NL will be pretty interesting just because you have some teams that are drastically underperforming through this point in the year.
Yeah, big time.
So, you know, are they going to heat up and really get this wild card race intense, or are they going to stay down? That'll be the biggest question. But, I mean, the NL wild card a little bit more wide open than maybe people anticipated, and the Reds three games back. Other big MLB news this week, Alek Manoah won a Cy Young for the Blue Jays, and just like that, he is
DFA.
Yeah, sent down into rookie ball.
Yeah,
just a complete reset for him.
Which seemed like kind of needed to happen after the way that this season started for him.
Made that first start of the year. I remember watching it against the St. Louis Cardinals, and
talking about this season or last.
Yeah, this season got roped.
And the Cardinals stink too.
The Cardinals stink. That's a different kind of surprise, but Manoah never really bounced back, and after his latest outing in which he kind of got rocked in the first inning, makes you wonder, is he ever going to be able to regain form? Do you think there's any notion of the fact that, you know, maybe the pitch clock has thrown him off?
Could
is
be,
he
yeah,
one
that's
of the
good
victims
point.
Of the pitch clock? You know, is that enough to change his game from Cy Young to, you know,
to rookie
ball. An ERA above 6.
Yeah.
Side note, imagine you know, being down there in rookie ball and all
of
a sudden
he's
you're
be
facing
smoking.
Alek Manoah.
Yeah. He's going to put up ungodly stats.
If he doesn't, though, then you're going to get really concerned. Blue Jays, though, I mean, they're right there in the wild card race, too. It's interesting if you're the Blue Jays because on one hand you feel like you should have broken through a little bit more by now with the young core that you've already kind of built. But at the same time, even though you're fourth place in the division, you're still 35-28, so it's not like you're struggling either. 1.5 games back of the wild card. Pitching-wise, I mean, you know, they still have Kevin Gausman who's pitched well and Chris Bassitt. Has been excellent for them too. Jose Barrios and Kikuchi can kind of fill out, you know, the bottom of that rotation, but they need a Manoah at the top still. They need him to figure it out down there in rookie ball and get it together quickly. And then the other pitching news of the week, the second best record in the MLB, Texas Rangers, the best run differential in the MLB. 154 runs over zero right now for them. They have been incredible. But they had a big blow this week as, to no one's surprise probably, Jacob DeGrom having a second Tommy John surgery.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, you feel for the guy when he gives that, like, super emotional interview. Like, you know he's one of, like, the most psycho competitors in the entire league. And, you know, you obviously want to live up to, like, that contract that he got, and you want to be one of the most dominant guys in MLB like you have been the last couple of years, and you get shut down like that. Like, yeah, you feel for him in that interview, for sure. But I have kind of caught on, at least anecdotally, that you like this Rangers team. You've had him in best bet twice that I can think of, at least. How big of a shot is it to them to not have DeGrom?
I mean, they haven't had DeGrom in a minute now either. Honestly, I don't even think it's that big of a shot to them. It's the offense that has really been great, but they have a guy too in Dane Dunning that was seen as a pretty decent pitching prospect for them. He's 28 years old. Was in the starting rotation, struggled. But then as a reliever this year, a long reliever, you know, was an opener a couple of times, has come in and relief. But he's been the guy that's filled in for DeGrom in the rotation. And he's 5-1 with an ERA under 3.
Mm.
So between him, you know, you're getting some really nice outings from Nathan Eovaldi, from John Gray, and Martin Perez. As long as Dane Dunning continues to pitch well, I don't think the Rangers will miss a beat. I think, if we got to the point where you have to take the Rangers seriously.
It seems like you're there. I'm not super locked into them by any means, but you kind of put them on my radar, just give them an out in best bet. And yeah, I mean, like, they're legit.
I mean,
go ahead.
I keep waiting for them to inevitably start to fall off and for the Astros to eventually come take that division. But
as you would have expected.
I don't know how you can't take them seriously at this point. They lead the MLB in run differential. They lead the MLB in batting average. They lead the MLB in OBP in runs. They're second in slugging. They're second in OPS. Their starting pitchers are second in the MLB in ERA, third in WHIP, and they're eighth in outs above average. All of those numbers indicate a level of play that is very sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is going to last. It's weird to think about, but the Rangers are just legitimately one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, after years of irrelevance, too. But, I mean, they've been big spenders now.
Yeah, they spent some money. For DeGrom, though, this is just – you do just feel so bad for him. You know, I wouldn't say I enjoyed when he got injured, but I always kind of just found all the Mets chaos and drama interesting just because I don't like the Mets and I was a Nats fan. But – I was really hoping for DeGrom. He'd get to greener pastures. He'd get kind of a reset and a second chance to really have a great back half of his career. Second Tommy John surgery, he's not going to be able to pitch until 2025 season.
Yeah. I really like watching him because, obviously, the command is incredible. The velo is still there. But just all the games that he, like, single-handedly won for the Mets, and it was 1-0, it was a lot of fun to watch, in my opinion. And he had, you know, 12 Ks or something like that.
He's unbelievable as a pitcher.
Yeah.
Other thing, despite the fact that he is undoubtedly one of the best pitchers of all time in terms of pure stuff, in terms of just the ability to throw a baseball, multi-time Cy Young winner. Did he win an MVP too? I don't remember, but
couldn't tell
multi-time
you.
Multi-time Cy Young winner and a guy that was the rookie of the year that dominated baseball. He's not done enough to get in the Hall of Fame either, which is disappointing.
Yeah, because you know, like, the top end skill level is like there.
He's a guy that should be undoubtedly be a Hall of Famer if he could just stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the thing. But, is like, this is also like another mark on a long list of an injured career that is a lot of what ifs, you know.
Just feel for him. I guess at the end of the day, just feel for him. Nationals game just got postponed due to air quality. Yeah, that's another thing we got going on in the MLB today. Games just getting postponed because of air quality. Shout out Canada.
Yeah, I put you onto the smoke yesterday, and you sounded a little dubious of it. Then it started shutting stuff down. And you're like,
I had
oh,
no
man.
Idea about the smoke until you brought it up yesterday, and then hopped online, and it was unavoidable.
Yeah. No, it's getting pretty bad. Although I think the worst of it's gone from our area. But yeah, the pictures of New York and stuff are crazy, bro. It's like I Am Legend or something.
We've also had a fun little Braves Met series this week.
Okay.
Don't know if you've seen some of the chirping there. The Braves continue to own the Mets. You had Pete Alonso take, I don't know if it was Jared Schuster or the other young pitcher for the Braves yard. You could hear him on the mic, picked it up, yelling from the dugout, throw that pitch again, throw that pitch again. Then the Braves erased a 5-1 lead to come back and take the lead, and the Braves dugout was where they were all yelling at the Mets to throw that pitch again.
Yeah.
Trolling Pete Alonso. The Mets are now 30-32, and the Braves just took a series from them. That was a fun series, and for the Braves, they struggled a little bit. They have a lot of injuries with their pitching staff. Kind of grab back control of the NL East. But a little baseball talk for you. We'll play Fact or Fiction on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. Thursday here, 11:42, starting to wind down. Time to play a little fact or fiction to get us home. Matthew, I'll ask you first, just kind of continuing on from our baseball conversation there. Fact or fiction, the Texas Rangers will sustain what they've produced through the first 3 months, and someone else will win the AL West besides the Astros.
I would say fiction. I still think it's hard for me to not think that the Astros just continue their dominance. You know, it's just hard for me to get there. I still like the Astros to kind of get some things together. We're still so early in this season, bro. Like, it definitely can swing back in the Astros' favor. But, like, I don't think Texas is going to completely implode and miss the playoffs by any means. Like, I think they're definitely a team that can, you know, hang through their season. But I think they've gotten a little bit out in front of their skis and over-succeeded at this point in the season, and Houston has obviously underachieved. So I think that comes back to the middle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston Astros are just, they're inevitable every year. You think they're dead, they're not.
They're the Kansas basketball of their division, man. They just win it every single year, it feels like. It has been that way for a long time. Also, while we're still, I will give you a fact or fiction. Well, let's just frame it like this. Fact or fiction, it's cool to trade home run balls for other stuff. So did you see this kid that traded De La Cruz his first home run ball back? He got a meet and greet, signed baseballs for him and his friends, signed pictures of him and his friends, signed bat, signed hat, all from Ellie De La Cruz in exchange for his first home run ball. Obviously, we saw the Aaron Judge stuff last year, the record-setting home run, I believe, did that get traded back to him or did that get sold? I can't remember. But anyways, this is definitely a trend that's going on. Is it cool to trade the home run ball?
Yeah, I think it is.
Fact or fiction?
Fact, it's cool to trade the home run ball. I mean, if I was a Reds fan and I caught Ellie De La Cruz's first career home run,
yeah, what would you do?
I would rather have that ball than the pictures.
Me
and
too.
The autographs.
100%.
And the bat. But I think, you know, it's not about you. You know, it's not a time to be selfish. You got to think about the human aspect of it, the human element of it. And, I mean, I would want, if I were a Reds fan, I would want my young star, Ellie De La Cruz, to have that ball. I mean, that, as much as it would mean to me, and as cool as it would be to me, and as special as it would be to me, it's 10 times as cool and as special to a guy that's grinded his whole life to get there and hit his first home run. So I think it's cool to make sure that those guys, you know, get some of the meaningful balls. He'll hit plenty of home runs and give away plenty of souvenirs. And, you know, I think it's cool, too, that at least you get the meet and greet, you get the bat, you get the ball, you get the picture.
Yeah.
Would you petition for more?
I would want the only thing more that I would ask for that's kind of like in the realm of possibility for the Reds to give them would be season tickets. But you would think if they're at a random game on a Wednesday, they probably go pretty regularly, maybe even have, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, season tickets seems like the only thing they left out, really, right? Surely the Reds have some extra tickets they can hand out. I personally would rather keep the ball as well. We started the show today talking about the merchandise collection. I don't know, like, what the authentication process for stuff like that is, though. You know what I mean? Like, if he keeps the ball and tries to sell it on eBay that night, like, how do you know?
I think that, like, I don't know if it happens immediately after, though. I was going to say, They have people from representatives on site from like Cooperstown and stuff to immediately put stickers on milestone balls and like scan them in. But
I think if you go through that process, you need to give it back at that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
That wasn't a very good fact or fiction. I just saw that picture of that kid and I wanted to ask.
Corey Humans was who caught the record-setting 60-second home run from Aaron Judge. He turned down a $3 million offer for the prize to instead put it to auction.
Yeah, I thought that was a sell job, but there was definitely maybe the tying, the one that tied the record, somebody gave back to Judge for exchange for something. I could be wrong about this, by the way, completely.
Oh my! It was Aaron Judge himself. I think Aaron Judge tried to get it back too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
But they offered,
oh, you're saying Aaron Judge was
well.
The
they
offer
offered they offered him $3 million, yeah. and he decided that he was going to take it to auction anyway. Only sold for $1.5 million.
I was about to say, there's no way it was more.
You got to take $3 million, dude. You can't be. You got to always take. If you can have a guaranteed $3 million, why risk?
Take it. Yeah.
Take the $3 million.
Yeah.
It's also pretty crazy that you could just go to a baseball game and catch a ball, and the next thing you know,
life changing
$3 million.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder how much the first one would be for De La Cruz. You know, the De La Cruz ball. Probably not a million, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe if he's a Hall of Famer in 25 years,
right.
Then you can get something better for it.
Do you have another Fact or Fiction, or can I give you a second one?
You want to give me a second one? Go ahead.
Fact or Fiction, we saw the best Jimmy Butler game last night that we will see in this series.
I don't think so. No, fiction. Jimmy Butler still wasn't great last night.
I agree.
The point totals were higher, but he wasn't overly efficient. You know, he still missed a couple of bunnies here and there. The passing numbers weren't what we've seen them, which is partially because some guys missed some shots.
Yeah.
But as the days go on, hopefully Jimmy's getting moderately healthier. And as the Heat's back get, you know, further against the wall, which could happen, obviously. You're already down 2-1. I think you're going to get to a point where Jimmy eventually transforms back into Jimmy Buckets.
Mm-hmm.
The
I
guy
agree with
that
you.
You got from the Bucks series.
I agree with you. I think that game four is his dig deep game, and I think he's going to get close to 40. I think 35 is obviously a more realistic number, but I think he has a better game still in him. You got another one for me or no?
11:49. Let's go ahead and end it here. Good
yep,
little round
good
of.
Call.
Fact or fiction, but we'll catch a break and get into our best bet to wrap up the show on the other side. Sand by the sea. All right, wrapping up the show the way we always do with a little best bet. Probably going to have to head to the MLB tonight, maybe a little NHL action if you're down for it. Is there anything else to bet on tonight?
No.
NHL, MLB.
I'm going to look at some golf stuff when we're done, but that's...
Is the WNBA playing right now? Can we bet on that? Are they
their
in season?
Yeah.
I feel like I never know when the WNBA is playing, but every once in a while I just turn on TV and it's just like, oh, the WNBA playoffs are on. Oh,
I know the Aces rule right now.
Do they?
And honestly, I do kind of want to see. I'm not.
Well,
a
the
super...
Aces are in action tonight against the Connecticut Sun. They're -5.5.
Oh, I would take that. They've been like dominant. Although I think it might be a finals rematch from last year, so maybe some bad blood. I think they just played the Sun, though. I could be dead wrong about all this.
There's not a ton of teams, so like they play each other a lot.
Yeah, that is true. I also do want to watch the Liberty one night. I want to see the Stewie and Ionescu show.
Oh, my gosh. I just looked. The Las Vegas Aces, they're 7-0, and they're averaging a point differential of 16.2
points.
Yeah,
they're a wagon. I might actually take that -5.
Yeah, I was half joking, but I found my best bet for the evening. It is the Las
they actually
Vegas
are fun
Aces
to watch,
-5.5.
Yeah, I love Asia Wilson. Plum also a pretty good point guard.
How do you know all the team's players? I know players.
You know Asia Wilson.
I mean, I know players in the WNBA, but
yeah.
I don't think I could tell you this many like exact teams that they play on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm not super locked into it either, but tangential. I do love basketball, though.
I love basketball.
Yeah, basketball
rules.
Kelsey
Plum, Asia Wilson.
Kelsey Plum is Darren Waller's wife that they got married, and Josh McDaniels spoiled the wedding. And then
okay, I know
that's
her
what,
then.
Yeah. You know her. And you know Stewie and...
I don't.
Brianna Stewart.
Stewie. Oh, you're calling Brianna Stewart Stewie, like that's her nickname?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I know Brianna Stewart.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jackie Young is the Aces' leading scorer from Notre Dame. I don't remember her.
I remember her from their finals team last year. I didn't know she was in Notre
the
Dame.
Connecticut Sun. Their best player is Brianna Jones from Maryland. I don't remember her.
But Sabrina Ionescu, you remember from Oregon, obviously.
Yeah.
So her and Brianna Stewart.
She was incredible.
Her and Stewart are teammates now in New York. Best bet for me, Chicago White Sox, New York Yankees under one run in the first inning. No runs first inning.
No
even
runs
money.
First inning.
And that is the second game. It is a doubleheader, so make sure you get the second
game. Game 2. It's even money?
Yes.
With Randy Vasquez and Mike Clevinger?
Yes. I have no... The stats, I took a quick look at, they looked fine. They looked passable enough for me to throw a bet on this. My idea, though, is that it's going to be a weird environment for sure. They're going to be playing, obviously, the second game of a doubleheader, come out a little bit slower. The Yankees are a really good first-inning offense. For whatever reason, I've lost a bunch of these bets involving the Yankees. But I think the second game of a doubleheader in weird smoky conditions, give me the under, no-run first inning.
I mean, those guys are barely going to be able to breathe.
Exactly. Yes, that's what I'm
counting. They're going to play two baseball – I mean, that's two baseball games in that temperature or in that condition. That's got to be equivalent to smoking, what, like
– 12 cigarettes,
yeah. 12, probably?
Yeah.
I loved yesterday. That's just immediately everything. It's like, all right, well, in Philadelphia right now, 8 hours outside is the equivalent of 3 cigarettes. And I was like, why are we – first of all, how do we get this to this exact of a science? Why do we know air quality to cigarettes, one-to-one ratio? But also, like
– yeah, it's made
why
up
is that how we described air quality just across America yesterday in terms of cigarette equivalents?
I do love it, though. It's the best way to describe it.
We should measure everything.
Yeah.
And, well – anyway, my best bet, the Aces, -5.5, and you're taking
too.
No run in game 2 of the doubleheader. But let's hit the road. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow morning. But for Thursday's edition of the Blitz, well, that's all. Neon Moon's playing. It's time to get out of here. For Matthew Gill, I'm Charlie Collier. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll be back with local programming at 3 o'clock with The Drive.